very small I'm on numbers. Stage,
all right. All right. I'm ready.
Right, hello ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this evening in Eye. My name's Rebecca Driver, I'm Director of Communications and Engagement at Ipswich and Colchester Hospitals, otherwise known as East Suffolk and North Essex Trust. We're a very small but perfectly formed group, and apart from Mr. Luff, I think everyone else knows each other very well. Which does place me in a slightly difficult position. What I propose to do is run the event pretty much as we might have run it if the panels behave themselves. We'll run the event as we were proposing to run it, and maybe we might be joined by a few more people. So the purpose of being here tonight is to talk about our proposals to develop an orthopaedic centre for surgery at Colchester Hospital for planned elective surgery. And we currently have a public consultation running at the moment. We want to hear your feedback about our proposals, and we're holding 11 of these meetings across Ipswich, Suffolk and also North Essex over the next week and a half. We have had an awful lot of interest in our proposals, but I was just talking to one of our governors who's kindly visited some parish councils recently, locally, and there was no concern at all expressed by our proposals. And often, as is the case with these public consultations, if there aren't fears and concerns, often these public meetings perhaps don't have as many individuals coming along to them as you might expect if people are worried and fearful. So the agenda for today, as you can see, is I'll just run through a few bits and pieces, and then we'll receive a presentation. And then the most important part of the meeting, your opportunity to ask questions and to receive answers from the panel. We do have 2 hours allocated for the meeting. We'll see how we go. My role is to facilitate the event, so I'm sure you'll all behave yourselves and ask lots of great questions. So without further ado, I'd like to ask our panel to introduce themselves, starting with Shane Gordon, please.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shane Gordon. I'm Director of Strategy for the Trust, and I'm a GP by background.
I'm Nick Hume. I'm Chief Executive of the Trust and by background.
Hello, I'm Richard Watson, Deputy Chief Executive for the CCGs and not clinician by background.
I'm Kay Hamilton, I'm the Associate Director of Nursing for Musculoskeletal Services at the Trust, and a nurse by background.
And I'm Crawford James, the Medical Director and a Consultant Physician at Ipswich and Colchester Hospitals.
Thank you very much, panel. Just a few housekeeping bits and pieces. We don't have any fire alarms planned for this evening, so the exits are through those doors or out through this way. And if you need to use the toilet facilities, they are behind me. If you have a hearing aid, we do have a hearing loop on. You just need to switch it to T, please. Please do turn off all your mobile phones. Mine went off halfway through the public consultation meeting this afternoon, which was extremely embarrassing. So do turn them off. We are recording each of our meetings, so when we come to the questions, I'll be asking you to use a microphone, and we'll be uploading all of those meetings onto our website so people can hear the panel and hear the questions that were asked. We'll also be posting from the meeting on social media if you want to make any comments. Can I ask you, I'm sure you won't, but please don't film proceedings because not everyone present in the audience might be comfortable for you to do so. I'll outline the questions and answers section, but I'd now like to hand over to Shane Gordon to give us a presentation on our proposals. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. It's my pleasure to tell you about our plans for a centre for orthopaedic planned surgery at Colchester Hospital. This is part of a larger programme of work, which is funded by a successful bid for nearly £70 million from central government funds. And that was allocated for two main projects, which are the improvement in urgent and emergency care services at both hospitals, which is largely at Ipswich, where the action is, with a new MRI and CT scanner, a new emergency department and urgent treatment centre. But there's also funding for expansion of emergency assessment units, the specialist assessment units at both sites, which is important to ensure people get specialist care as quickly as possible after they've been seen in the emergency department. There is also some of the funding for a minor reconfiguration of the emergency department at Colchester Hospital. However, the second part of the funding is the one we're interested in today, which is the changes in planned care, which we also sometimes call elective care. And there are two elements of that that need to be completed within the funding. The first is the development of the orthopaedic centre itself, but a second important element is the reprovision of day surgery at Colchester Hospital, which is much needed because those facilities are now approaching the end of their usable life. The centre itself will be at least 48 inpatient beds, and they will be built to the most modern NHS standards, which mean that at least half of the rooms will have to be single ensuite rooms, and that the bays for the remainder of the beds will have four beds in a bay the size of one of our existing bays that we currently have six beds in. So you can imagine that it's quite spacious. That does several important things. It is good for infection control and reduces the chance of cross-infection between patients. It allows for rehabilitation at the bedside rather than having to move people out to a special facility for rehabilitation, and it means that the nursing staff can also help with rehabilitation of patients. And finally, it does mean that if relatives are visiting, there is space to put up camp beds, particularly in the ensuite rooms, which would allow relatives to stay with the patient. It will also include at least five operating theatres with space to expand to a sixth, which again will be the most modern specification for orthopaedic ultra-clean operating theatres. And the centre will focus on a range of surgical procedures, but the common ones that people are familiar with are things like hip replacements and knee replacements. But it will also provide for revisions of joint replacements where you've had a hip or a knee replacement previously and that has worn out, which are more complicated procedures. So we think there are a number of benefits to doing this. The main one is really the risk of reducing the risk of cancellation, which I'll speak more about in a minute. That will lead to shorter waiting times for surgery and a reduced length of stay. Length of stay has been coming down steadily over the last 20 years. When I trained in orthopaedics 20 years ago, people were routinely staying in hospital for a week to 10 days. It's now 3 days on average, and we expect that this fantastic facility will continue that trend. The environment will be significantly better, as I've mentioned, for patients, their families, and for staff. And importantly, by creating this new capacity, it frees up space in our estate, most of which is currently occupied and therefore difficult to modernise. It frees up estate so that we can improve the accommodation for a number of other services over time, and that will be particularly true at Ipswich Hospital. It will be a specialist centre, and it will be a fantastic facility that will attract staff to come and work at the highest level in our area. And those staff, of course, will want to do research and bring innovation with them. Why is it Colchester Hospital? We are presenting only one option for consultation. That's because when we've looked at all the options for where we could site this facility, it is possible to site it at Ipswich Hospital. But the only way to do that is to demolish an existing facility, and you would then have to rebuild that in order to make the space for this centre. And that would consume some of the budget without really any additional benefit. And none of those options at Ipswich Hospital were affordable within the budget that we have. The second is that we have to re-provide the day surgery facility at Colchester. And again, if we sited this centre at Ipswich, we'd have to build a brand new day surgery unit at Colchester and build the elective centre at Ipswich, which would be unaffordable. If we put it at the Colchester site, we can move some of the existing orthopaedic theatres into the elective centre, and the space that's freed up will be the new day surgery facility. The final one is that, and this is slightly more subtle, is that there is just over half of the number of patients come from the Colchester catchment area currently. It's a very small difference. But because of the growth that's going to happen around Colchester Hospital in the next 20 years, that difference widens significantly. And if we're trying to place the centre where it causes additional travel for the fewest number of people, it needs to be Colchester. This is the location on the Colchester site. On the left-hand side is the Northern Approach Road running up to the A12 by the football stadium. With help from our local government colleagues, we anticipate that we'll be able to create a new entrance right next to the centre off the Northern Approach Road. There is a park and ride bus stop there already with easy access to the park and ride facilities just off the A12. The centre is slightly separated from the main block of the hospital, which is good for reducing the temptation to put emergency patients in those beds, but close enough if you had a rare but serious complication and you needed additional medical support beyond orthopaedics. So we think that's a good location. So there are a number of things that wouldn't change. So the only thing that will go to the centre is your inpatient surgical procedure. All of the rest of your care, your outpatient care, your diagnostic tests, scans, x-rays, blood tests, your appointments with the anaesthetic team before surgery, and your follow-up will remain at your local hospital, Ipswich in this case. So other orthopaedic services that are at Ipswich will stay there, so Ipswich will remain the regional centre for spinal surgery. It will retain day surgery and emergency orthopaedic surgery. Sometimes we call that trauma. Follow-up appointments similarly would remain. And importantly, you would see the same consultant at your local hospital as will do your operation at the centre. They will follow you to the centre. So the things that change are your inpatient stay, but also we think this change in the way we work can be a catalyst for a review of the whole pathway of care, which I'll speak about more in a second. So the current pathway can have up to 6 hospital attendances before you have surgery from the point of referral by your GP, and that varies at the moment between consultants and between the two hospitals, but up to 6 appointments before your surgery. The main issue we have at the moment, though, is that up to 30%, nearly 1 in 3 of our patients, have their operations cancelled after they've been booked. So you put all of your preparations in place, you've put the dog in the kennels, you've got your family sorted out to look after your relative who needs care, everybody's revved up to come and visit you, and the day or the week before your surgery, we phone you up and we say, I'm sorry, we can't do your operation on the date that we'd agreed. And that's far too many people experience that in our view. And of course, in the winter, when we have even more emergency patients needing the beds that we've got for planned care, that can go up to around 80% of procedures being cancelled at points during the winter. And then, of course, after your surgery, there are also a number of visits for follow-up with the consultant team and for rehabilitation. So this has some significant effects on our ability to deliver care at the moment. So, as I said, the cancellation rate is very high across both our hospitals. At Ipswich in the last year, it was 27% of patients. And that meant that the total activity that we do has gone down year on year as those cancellations have risen. So we're now doing about 25% less procedures as inpatients than we were doing 5 years ago. The waiting times are getting longer, so average waiting times at Ipswich at the moment are 22 weeks for surgery. The national average is 14 weeks, so they're significantly longer. And that means that the waiting list is getting longer. It's grown by nearly half in the last 18 months. And the main reasons for cancellation are that we need the beds for emergency patients because we don't have enough capacity at the moment. So the future pathway can be better. So we think that after you've been referred and triaged in the community, we can do significantly better in terms of one-stop first appointments where you get your diagnostic tests and you see the consultant in one go, meaning you can start to make a decision about whether you need surgery at that first visit. We can think about special clinics for patients with complex needs, such as diabetes or heart disease or lung disease. Your consultant, as I said, will follow you to the elective centre for your procedure, but when you come back to your local area, you would have your rehabilitation, hopefully in either a community facility or even in your own home, and that you would only be followed up if you have a problem. So at the moment, we follow people up routinely, and the vast majority of them need no change in their care. So how many people are going to be affected? In the last full year, about 3,400 people needed these kind of operations in our catchment area. Our catchment area in Suffolk and North East Essex has about 800,000 people in it. About half of those patients, just under half of those patients, came from the Ipswich end and would change the location of their surgery when this centre is built. The total number of people going to the centre in any given day would be about 14, of which half would come from the Ipswich end, about 7 people a day. But really importantly, the centre has got to be able to accommodate the growth in the number of people needing these kind of operations. And in 20 years' time, we estimate we'll need to accommodate nearly 1,000 more people a year, about a third more than we're doing now. We recognise that there will be some impact on the way we have to organise our staff, and that will mean change for some of them. We've spent quite a lot of time already talking to our staff about these proposals over several years. However, we recognise that the public consultation is really the beginning of the detailed planning process because it determines where the centre will be. And therefore, there is a lot more detailed planning and engagement for our staff that needs to happen after the public consultation. So the consultation, as I've explained, is on just one option because there isn't a realistic alternative option. However, we're really keen to hear from members of the public about their concerns or any suggestions they have for mitigating those concerns, particularly things around transport to the new centre, which is the commonest issue that we've heard in our year of pre-consultation engagement. There is full information available on our website, including travel and equality impact assessments, a summary of the business case, and a very helpful report from the East of England Clinical Senate, which is an independent body, there's one in each region, that scrutinises proposals for change. The Senate have given us a very supportive report with some very helpful recommendations in it. There are 11 public meetings planned. This is the second of those, and they will be carrying on throughout this week. There are also social media engagements planned. So in terms of timing for the decision, the consultation finishes on the 1st of April. That's during the pre-election period for local government, so we won't be able to undertake any other further public events until that local government election process finishes on the 8th of May. In May or June, we will then hold a stakeholder decision-making event with representatives from the public, Health Watch, local government, as well as our own staff. And they will make a recommendation to the CCG's governing bodies, who will meet in the early summer to make a decision on the outcome of the consultation. If that outcome is positive, we will then begin to develop the full business case for these proposals, and that will take us approximately 12 months. So the contract for building it isn't awarded until 2021-22 financial year. And there is then a two-year building programme which will take us into 2024 before the centre opens. So to my mind, that's quite a long way away. So I'll stop there and invite questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shane. I hope you enjoyed that very thorough overview of our proposals. And now comes to the, hopefully, the most interesting part of the meeting for all of you, your opportunity to ask any questions and for the panel to answer them. There may be some of you who might wish to make some statements in the audience, and that's absolutely fine, who may not necessarily want an answer to a question. That's obviously fine. I'm sure, given all of you in the audience, you'll respect one another and give everyone the opportunity to ask their questions and hopefully to respect our panel in their time in responding to them. We won't be asking every member of the panel to respond to every question. There are areas of expertise in front of you, but we'll make sure that your questions get answered. If you don't feel comfortable about asking a question, that's absolutely fine. There are some members of the team around who can happily come and have a chat with you and either put the question through me or we can ask it later at the end of the meeting when we finish the formal session. So if you do have something, if you just pop your hand up, we'll make sure someone comes and has a word with you. We also know sometimes in these meetings you may have some queries about your own personal care or that of a relative, and if you have those, then obviously we'd be happy to speak to you about those at the end of the meeting as well. Everyone won't be running off. But the purpose of this question and answer session is specifically about our proposals today around the new surgical centre for orthopaedics. So if you'd like to ask a question, if you could pop your hand in the air and then one of my team will bring a microphone over. If you're happy to, please can you let us know your name, and if you represent an organisation and you're happy to share that, please do so. So without further ado, do we have any questions? So Anna, thank you. We're recording what you're saying, if that's okay. Thank you so much.
On the future pathway, what impact would it have on the consultants? Because it seemed to me on the first part of the pathway, they're doing a lot more things within the first part of the meeting with the patient.
Yes.
So what impact does that have on a consultant?
I'm going to ask Crawford to respond to that, if I may, please.
So I think it's a really good question, because part of this transformation is not about the building, part of it's about the pathway. And at the moment, we know that there's variability in practice between different consultants as to exactly what happens before an operation and after an operation. So we'll need, there's quite a lot of work to do between this inception plan and the opening the centre in 2024. And of course, we're not those to tell our orthopaedic colleagues the best way to do things. But what we'll want to do by the time this is launched is to have a consensus. So each patient goes through the same pathway unless there's a reason to do it differently. So I think in your very sensible answer, are we going to take them away from operating and spend more time having a chat, which might be important? Actually, we're going to spend less time because they'll be giving compact, valued consultations that are well designed to give what patients need. So at the moment, when we look at the pathway of a patient who comes perhaps to Ipswich Hospital six times, they do a lot more travelling than they will in the new one, even if they go to Colchester. And the follow-up, we'd want to have evidence-based. So if patients are concerned, we'll always be there to answer their questions, but we don't want to keep bringing people back when we know from experience that generally they don't need to, and put a lot more in the hands of our patients and not our teams when that occurs. Does that answer your question?
Would any of the other members of the panel like to add anything? Okay, thank you very much. Are there any other questions? Thank you, John. Just wait a moment, thank you.
Just curious, really, about the actual design, the content, and the kit, if you like. It's a non-medical term, I suppose. Are the consultants involved in that design? Not just the physical shell, but of course that as well, but all the equipment that goes inside, or is this an NHS kind of package?
I'll ask Shane if he can answer that, and then I'll go to Nick.
The short answer is yes, absolutely. They will be critical to designing the facility to make sure that it has all the right layouts, the right facilities, the right aftercare, and the right equipment in it. think importantly we'll also be working with our Health Watch partners to make sure that patients have significant input to the design of the building as well. There are standard ways of laying out these facilities that are governed by technical guidance in the NHS and ask them meet those, but there's quite a lot of flexibility within those around exactly how it's configured and what it has in it. And as I said in the presentation, it's very early days for that level of detail, really. So we've got a good 12 to 18 months to do that detailed planning with our clinical teams.
Nick, would you like to add something?
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing just to add is that not only will they be involved in the design of the building and the equipment, but also in the way that care is delivered. Some have expressed concern about some issues around managing patients who are planned, elective, and who are trauma patients on another site. And I've met with them and they've raised those concerns, and I absolutely want to hear from them about what those concerns are and then mitigate that risk as much as we can. There's no point in us designing a pathway that allows the clinicians to deliver it, so they are actively involved or will become actively involved. I think perhaps they felt as though this was kind of foisted on them and it's a done deal. Absolutely not. All we're doing, as Shane alluded to earlier, is just getting over the first hurdle, the public consultation, to both hopefully have the support of the public in terms of the plan, but most importantly here, if the public have got any concerns, and then we get into the phase of doing almost the same thing with the people who will be delivering the care, which is hear about the concerns, get them involved in the planning and the design, and therefore end up with the best possible care for the people that we serve.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Crawford to add a comment, please.
So Kay may wish to add to this as well, but the important thing, as Nick and Shane have said, is that this is built around the experience our consultants have and how they deliver the excellent care they do, very importantly around our patients as well. But of course, giving really good orthopaedic care is a team sport and not an individual one. And so we want these wards to be ideal in terms of their nursing design, the theatres again, and very importantly, our allied health professionals, our physios and our OTs need to be able to help to re-able our patients and get them up and about effectively afterwards. So the more spacious ward design will help with that, but we'll also be consulting with them just as we will be with our consultants about the best way to care for their patients. So there's a lot of, the biggest bit of work to do is actually the detail, and that's what makes such a difference to making it a really effective care environment.
Would you like to add a final comment, Kay?
Well, it's difficult to add because there was a great deal covered there, but very much so, the patient experience, us designing a service, a facility that's built around that workflow, that patient flow. So that's something I think that I'm excited about, and many other colleagues are excited about how we're going to improve that experience for patients coming in. And also the workforce, and you'd mentioned KIT. Actually, we talk about KIT quite a lot as an ex-theatre nurse. So it's something that, again, we'll have that opportunity to design an efficient and effective service so that it feels comfortable, it feels, you know, it just flows nicely. And I think that's one of the great benefits that we're looking forward to.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. Are there any other questions? Tony, would you like to ask anything?
Well, I had the benefit of your excellent presentation.
Thank you.
So I don't really need to ask any questions. I mean, I've pondered a bit about heart. I've just done a heart for a while. I've now decided it's fair enough. It's actually should be 1,700 and a half. So,
yes.
Good. So I don't really have any questions. I mean, I understand the reason for moving it to Colchester rather than Ipswich. It's plain, but in order to move it to Ipswich, you'd have had to demolish half the northern half of the hospital, probably. Would have caused all sorts of issues and problems, including what would have happened to the cancer wings. So I think this was pretty well inevitable that it had to go to Colchester. It's where, because there's such spaces. So I don't have any real question or problems with it at all.
Thank
Sorry
you.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Thank you very much. Would you like to comment, Nick?
No.
No? Okay. Mrs. Love, thank you. Any other members of the audience? John? Yes, please, of course you can.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's great.
I don't know if I missed a bit of that, but
On the build and on the size, you were talking about 14 patients a day and a project of 1,000 more whenever. Okay. Does that future-proof that 1,000? Yeah, so?
Again, the short answer is yes. So we're also, one of the issues we've got at the moment at Colchester is that about just over 400 patients a year are having their NHS care in a private hospital in Colchester because we don't have the capacity in the existing facilities. So we've also planned that some of those patients may choose to come back into our NHS hospital care as part of that. So it's not only that growth of nearly 1,000 patients, it's the nearly 500 patients at the moment who don't get that option.
Okay, thank you. If you have any more questions, you're very welcome to ask them. Okay. Well, if there aren't any more questions, then I'd like to sum up. Thank you very much all for coming. We've had some really interesting questions, actually, in a brief period of time about the pathway for patients. And you've heard a lot about how our clinicians are going to be involved in the design of the equipment and the build of how it works, and how our care will be delivered for our patients and how we'll take better care of them, I think, in the new centre, and some really supportive comments from our Health Watch chair, which I'm very grateful for. If there aren't any more questions, we will include the comments that we've heard today and post them on our website and summarise them for our public consultation feedback. And we do have more meetings if any of you would like to come along to them. The details are online. I would just, as a final comment, like to remind everyone, if you're in favour of our proposals or you have queries or concerns about them, please do respond to the public consultation, because we want to hear supportive comments about the consultation as well as any concerns or worries that you may have, which we can respond to in the formal decision-making process. So do respond and encourage your friends and families to do so. So thank you very much for coming, and hope you have a safe journey home. Thank you to our panel.